God, then actually our response to any situation is more in tune with God's own response. Let's read ahead in chapter 2. I think we've got time for this. Actually, I won't do chapter 3, but we'll do chapter 2. One day, 4 months later, when Emperor Artaxerxes was dining, I took the wine to him. He had never seen me look sad before, so he asked, "Why are you looking so sad? You aren't ill, so it must be that you are unhappy." I was startled and answered, "May your majesty live forever. How can I help looking sad when the city where my ancestors are buried is in ruins and its gates have been destroyed by fire?" The emperor asked, "What is it that you want?" I prayed to the God of heaven, and then I said to the emperor, "If your majesty is pleased with me and is willing to grant my request, let me go to the land of Judah, to the city where my ancestors are buried, so that I can rebuild the city." The emperor, with the empress sitting at his side, approved my request. He asked me how long I would be gone and when I would return, and I told him. Then I asked him to grant me the favor of giving me letters to the governors of West Euphrates province, instructing them to let me travel to Judah. I asked also for a letter to Asaph, keeper of the royal forests, instructing him to supply me with timber for the gates of the fort that guards the temple, for the city walls, and for the house I was to live in. The emperor gave me all I asked for because God was with me. The emperor sent some army officers and a troop of horsemen with me, and I made the journey to the West Euphrates. There I gave the emperor's letter to the governors, but Sanballat from the town of Beth-horon and Tobiah, an official in the province of Ammon, heard that someone had come to work for the good of the people of Israel, and they were highly indignant. I went on to Jerusalem, and for 3 days I did not tell anyone what God had inspired me to do for Jerusalem. Then in the middle of the night, I got up and went out, taking a few of my companions with me. The only animal we took was the donkey that I rode on. It was still night as I left the city through the valley gate on the west and went south past Dragon's Fountain to the rubbish gate. As I went, I inspected the broken walls of the city and the gates that had been destroyed by fire. Then on the east side of the city, I went north to the fountain gate and the king's pool. The donkey I was riding could not find any path through the rubble. So I went down into the valley of the Kidron and rode along, looking at the wall. Then I returned the way I had come and went back into the city through the valley gate. None of the local officials knew where I had been or what I had been doing. So far, I had not said anything to any of my fellow Jews, the priests, the leaders, the officials, or anyone else who would be taking part in the work. But now I said to them, "See what trouble we are in, because Jerusalem is in ruins and its gates are destroyed. Let's rebuild the city walls and put an end to our disgrace." And I told them how God had been with me and helped me, and what the emperor had said to me. They responded, "Let's start rebuilding." And they got ready to start the work. When Sanballat, Tobiah, and an Arab named Geshem heard what we were planning to do, they laughed at us and said, "What do you think you're doing? Are you going to rebel against the emperor?" I answered, "The God of heaven will give us success. We are his servants, and we are going to start building. But you have no right to any property in Jerusalem, and you have no right, no share in its traditions." It's a fabulous story. It's one where just one man sees that something needs to be done because God's name is being disgraced. He leans on the favor of God. He asks for help from outside, and help comes. And then he rallies up people around him, people who are exiles in the city. No, not the exiles. People who are still in the city to come and help. And they do. He says to the others, "You have no part in Jerusalem. You have no part in the inheritance, no part in our traditions. So we're not interested." I really feel this is a challenge for us. We've got some planning ahead to do. We've got some rebuilding. Not of our walls. They're perfectly good. Thank you very much. But actually, we've got some rebuilding to do of our honour, of our integrity, of how we reach out to the community. We've lost ground, and we're a bit battle-worn. But God is good. There is a new day coming. And I'd encourage us all to be responding to God appropriately, to putting our hearts right towards one another and to those who have left, and to be seeking God's heart for how we rebuild Buttershaw Baptist Church. We're not in ruins, we're not ashes, but we have gone through a testing time. We will have our church meeting on September the 10th, and let's get excited about what God wants to do through people who are willing to clear out the rubbish in our hearts and serve him in Buttershaw. Stand up once more with me. Mavis, I'm going to pick on you a minute, if that's okay. A few months ago, Mavis would repeatedly tell me, she's not here for any of this rubbish that's going on. She's here to worship God. And I found that such a huge encouragement, a great reminder of our enemy is not flesh and blood. We keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. I want you, just by yourself, to quietly declare to God who you are and why you are here. Father, thank you that you are God of the ages. You're the same God who was with Moses. You delivered the Israelites out of Egypt. You're the same God who led Nehemiah to rebuild the wall. You're the same God who led the new church through all that we read in the Acts. You're the same God who leads mission trips around the world today where we can hear great testimonies of what you're doing. You're the same God that meets us every day, providing our needs, calling us into closer relationship with you. God, we want to stand and be counted, not just in Buttershaw Baptist Church, but also we give you the situations in our lives that seem out of control, areas of our lives that cause us shame. And God, we thank you for your promise that you will deliver those who submit themselves to you. Amen. Thank you.